Greetings. I am Shisada Akona Kamara, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine.
Good evening, everyone. This is Shisada. I welcome you to Satsang this week. And I'm joined with PLAN, Linda, Megan, and Tim, as always. We're thrilled to have you with us tonight. Let's go ahead, take a deep breath, and we'll get ourselves cleared and ready for the session. Mother, Father, God that I am, through the Great Central Sun Hierarchy, through the office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot in the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, a shaft just to surround each one of us. And I ask that these shafts be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity. PLAN and I place ourselves in service to you tonight. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. Because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. Excellent. Come on back to me. I got a little overzealous on that second gong there. Sorry for that one if it took your ears out. Okay. Wonderful. Well, we're thrilled to have you with us tonight, friends of the Shambhala Center for Spiritual Awareness. I have no idea what we're going to talk about tonight. PLAN, did we leave off with anything that was hanging from last week's program? Or did we pretty much sum everything up?
We pretty much summed everything up. It was pretty clear.
Last week we kind of hit a lot of really interesting topics, didn't we?
We sure did.
Yeah, okay. All right, last week was an unusual week. And the energies are, and I think I said this last week too, of course, quite strong right now. And I really experienced a lot about a week and a half ago myself. And now I'm watching people around me going through kind of what I went through a week and a half ago. So if you're sitting there right now out there experiencing a lot of turmoil, even in the body, like your digestive system not functioning like it normally does and your sleep patterns are off, like all of that stuff, no worries. It's exactly what is kind of running right now anyway. So just understand that it just has to run its course. Try not to personalize it or get too worked up about it. I mean, certainly if you're sick, I'm not telling you don't go to the doctor. Don't take that the wrong way. But the way the energies come in, one thing that people don't understand is, you know, I was just saying to the group here before the program that people have to remember that the ascension is actually happening, you know, and it seems that a lot of people in the spiritual community still have this concept that the ascension is something that's like out there and in time, and it's not. We are walking it every day, and every day the light quotient on this planet increases, and every time we have a full moon and a new moon, and every time there is a solstice or an equinox, that light quotient, you know, gets an extra jolt. And the thing is, you have to remember that the body elemental that is serving your consciousness here in manifestation, it's a reflection of the state of consciousness that's being held by the one it serves. So it's polarized, just as all of you are functioning from a level of polarization because of the identification that has taken place. And what happens is that light that's coming in, you know, light is energy. And as that light comes in, the body elemental has to adjust to a higher vibration, because that's what that is, okay? So it's like think of your body as being on a dimmer switch, and, you know, every day it gets a, you know, a little tweak and a little tweak and a little tweak, getting pushed up higher, higher, higher. Well, and then certain things that come will give it a big jump, and you have to, the body isn't necessarily prepared to handle that level of vibration. And the reason that it's tricky is that as you do your spiritual work, which is your life, right? As you're moving through your life and coming into greater levels of awareness and whatever it is that you're doing, you move into higher levels of vibration that then become your norm. And in that space, you lose sight of energetically where you used to sit. So I would tell my students, and I've told my students at different points, you know, if you could kind of jump back into the vibratory frequency that you held, you know, a year ago, or when you started doing this work, you would be, I mean, it would just absolutely floor you to be back in that body, because it would be so foreign to you now. And so the same is true for all of you, regardless of the level of work you're doing. You still are walking this path, you know, whether it's a conscious path or not, you still are walking it. You are in physical manifestation during the shift of the ages. I mean, everyone's walking this. So everyone is being affected by it. And this is something that the physical forms have to do. They have to, you know, adjust to that level of energy as it continues to ramp up, so that it can continue to function. If the body never did anything, your nervous system would fry and it would kill you. So the nervous system in the body has to adjust, and it affects everything. So it will affect your digestion. It will affect sleep stuff. It will affect, you know, potential headaches, body pains, like all kinds of stuff. You will feel, I have had experiences where I literally felt like my nerves were being fried, you know, where you just, literally, and I don't even know how else to describe it other than that's exactly what it felt like. And it needs to run its course. Okay. It's just the energies. So if you're witnessing any of that this week or in the past week, you know, just know that it's just energy. Don't attach to it. Just allow it to do its thing. And, you know, when your body is getting hit especially hard, just, you know, be kind to it. Take a nap if you can. Get to bed earlier, sleep in later. You know, watch what you're putting in your mouth, and yeah, I think that's about it. Any questions from any of you on that? I don't think I will have questions from my students.
Twix count.
Huh?
Does Twix count
as- He's eating a candy bar. Chocolate isn't a bad thing. Dark chocolate's better. Chocolate actually is a very grounding thing. Yeah, chocolate's not bad. I eat more chocolate. Yeah, chocolate's not a bad thing. It's actually, I used to laugh because, what, there was one, oh, it was Harry Potter. In one of the Harry Potter movies, the person who was working with Harry at that time, the guy who ended up being the werewolf, he would give him chocolate when Harry was doing his work with him. And he was all kind of out there and woozy. He'd give him chocolate. He's like, here, eat this. It'll help. Like, it'll reground you. And that's exactly what chocolate does. Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. So, what are we going to talk about tonight? Come on, give me something. Oh, Megan has something. Come on over, honey. Come talk to the people.
Have you ever talked to the public, I don't know, call our audience, about your inner world is your outer world and vice versa?
I don't know. Have we done?
Yes, she has.
Oh, it just came to me.
Forget it.
Okay. No, that doesn't mean that we can't address some of that. It's funny. One of the things that came up earlier as well, like, you know, if you've been listening, you know, regularly, you know that we hold a physical satsang session here in Charlotte. And then after that session, we do this on the radio. And we were just talking about that concerning the ascension, right? And concerning what people are starting to experience, because everything is shifting. And literally this paradigm that we experience here as our quote unquote reality is dissolving. So you're starting to actually experience that dissolution in your actual world. And you don't have to be a spiritual seeker to witness that. Now, people who aren't seekers will probably find it really confusing when things happen. But we were talking about that during the session. And it can occur in lots of different ways. So you can experience timeline jumps, as something where you literally will be in one spot and you, next thing you know, there's a shift and, like, you may not know where you are. You may witness that something has shifted in the space you're in that you didn't go and touch, but all of a sudden it's in a different location, right? And what else? I got a little distracted, sorry. we were talking about people who are they find themselves getting so internal in, say, contemplation, that they will all of a sudden kind of wake up while they're driving and recognize that they just drove maybe 10 miles and were completely unconscious for it. And of course, you're always conscious. Nothing actually stops and the body knows what it's doing. So, you know, you're safe enough. But again, I'm not telling you to go into meditation when you're driving. Like, I feel like I have to always cover my butt. Deep contemplation for home, but this is something that's happening to people. Like, it's almost like they just check out, you know, and it can feel very scary when you're driving a vehicle and all of a sudden kind of wake up and realize you kind of weren't there for a while. But that happens a lot. And what else were we saying? Deja vus, that's a big one. And I was telling the group that I had a really cool deja vu experience at Halloween, where I came down, I was with my family and we were out at the beach, and I came down the stairs and into the kitchen. And as soon as I hit the kitchen, the whole deja vu thing kicked in. And it was really, really beautiful because I could see, as I witnessed it, what the original, not, that's probably a poor choice of words, where the timeline that I was kind of re-experiencing, I could see where that timeline had ended up. And then I was actually standing here in the timeline that was transpiring. And of course they were running parallel. So that's why you experienced the deja vu part. And then I watched how they diverged. So the one instance had ended up feeling very tense and it was stressful. And there was stuff that happened with family members. And then the one that I sat in currently did not do that at all. It stayed very peaceful. And it was like this most beautiful thing to witness, that I actually could see it happening. multidimensionally. You know, I could actually see the multiple timelines at the same time. So that was very cool. And synchronicities are another big one. So watch for the synchronicities now. And they can happen really close together. So, you know, one day you may be saying, geez, it'd be great to, and I had this, I've told you about my coffee table before. You know, Jude, would be, I wish we had a coffee table for this room. And then literally within 2 days, my neighbor put out his coffee table and it was perfect for what I needed. So it can happen really fast like that, or it can happen a little more drawn out, where we have Megan here, and I'm going to use you as an example, who has been experiencing a very difficult semester in her work as a teacher and was kind of putting it out to the universe that I'm really tired and I could use a break. And then when the semester rounded out and they're getting ready for the next one, they didn't have the enrollment, so her schedule got cut way back. So she actually is getting exactly what she asked for, even though she didn't actually ask directly for it, you know. So, and you have to remember here too that there was no attachment to the, oh, I need a break thing. It was just recognized that this body's tired and mentally I feel very drained, you know, and a break would be great. But she didn't expect a break, okay? So that left it open for it to actually, you know, manifest for her that way. It's beautiful. Okay. So all this stuff is going on. And December is going to be an interesting month and potentially very challenging for people. So just stay centered as best you can and know that there is another big shift on the way and we're all preparing for that right now. And that's what you're experiencing with different things that are going on in your physical world and in your, you know, just your daily life. You may have things happening at work, you know, people are blowing up at each other and things at the house and people are really irrational and all this stuff is going on. It's fine. It's just part of the energies. The energies come in and people identify with the energy rather than seeing it as just energy and not getting involved in it and allowing it to run. You know, you feel it, but you don't personalize it. Well, no one has that understanding unless you happen to talk to people like me. So everyone feels the energy and then they get bothered by it and then they end up looking for somewhere in their world to actually place the blame for what they're feeling. So they personalize it and then it becomes their reality. It doesn't need to. It absolutely does not need to. It's just energy. And it's a good thing. You know, it may feel uncomfortable or disquieting, but that's just the ego that's slapping a label on it, you know, because energy is just energy. It's nothing. So just witness it and allow it to be what it is, you know, and if you find that it makes the body feel uncomfortable, well, then that's just the way it is, you know, and that's the difference between someone who can really function in a very clear spot and someone who can't, is that the one who can be really clear just recognizes when the energy comes and maybe they end up with a day-long headache and they'll know, like I get them all the time from the energies, especially around the full moons, and I'll just know, like, aspirin is not going to help it. There's nothing that's going to take that away. It's going to run its course. And by tomorrow, it'll be fine, right? And so you just deal with a headache for the day. And it's no reason to be grumpy. And it's no reason to be rotten to people. It's just energy, you know. And that's the difference. Because generally, people would be all cranky over the fact that they have a headache. And I feel terrible, blah, blah. You know, now it's a whole thing. It's just become part of your reality. And it didn't need to. So, okay. To talk about. Oh, she's gonna say something.
I would like to, since you said that the solstice is coming up, I would like to invite our listeners. We will be holding our own group meditation for the Shambhala Center on Sunday. Ours is going to be 12 to 2 Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
12 p.m. to 2 p.m. So if anyone wants to join in with us at the same time, that'd be fantastic.
I think that's beautiful. And you know what we're going to do? I'm going to work with Tim on this. We're going to, we were planning on announcing at the beginning of the year that we are working with Don and Doug at BBS to create a 24/7 Shambhala radio station, which we're very excited about. It'll be a way that we can run archives, that we can do different kinds of interviews and have, you know, specific meditation music playlist set up so that you can tune in and you could know a certain day of the week. Maybe this is like, you know, Eastern meditation music, and then maybe another day is Celtic day or whatever. And it gives us an opportunity to do something where you can tune in and really, if you really are a student of the work, then it's would be a wonderful thing to do. So we're not ready to roll it out yet, but I'm guessing that if we work together, we can put a playlist up that we can everyone could tune into so that we all could hear the same music from 12 to 2.
Yep.
That would be very cool. Okay, so we will plan on announcing next week how people will get to that link to be able to listen to that stream. Yeah? Okay, excellent. Hold us to it. We've got a lot going on over here. We really do. Okay. That'll be fun.
It'll be really good. And it'd be really nice if people can email in afterwards and tell us what their experience was.
Absolutely. That'd be beautiful. That'd be beautiful. That's one thing that I do with my students is meditation. And because as a guide, I facilitate meditation. I go into meditation and it's not personal for me. So I am there to kind of move. How do I say this? I bring in an energy that goes out into the group and I help the group kind of collectively. We work with the energy to bring it up higher, 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 higher. So we do long meditations. And sometimes we have like full weekend intensive retreats where we go away and just like we're just basically meditating all weekend. And it's beautiful because there's a lot of shifting that occurs. So this is what that's going to be. When I say a 2-hour meditation, it's not going to be a 2-hour fluffy music meditation. It's going to be hardcore. So if you are into meditating, you will want to be there for this one. It'll be fun. And I'll put my playlist together in the next week. So cool. So what did I do for quotes this week on Facebook? I did 2 of them. What did I say? Oh, I had a good one today. I put it up today about resistance, right? And I said, resistance is your proof that there's a level of truth that's being presented to you. I'm paraphrasing that, you have been in denial over or have been repressing. Okay. So we'll say that again. Who's got Facebook? Who can pull it up? I can probably do that from here, can I? I'd like to be able to quote myself properly since I can never remember what it is that I've actually said. It's hysterical. Last week after the program, we had to write the archives, and I could not put 2 sentences together. It all comes and goes, and I have no idea what I just said for the last hour. Okay, let's see. So I wrote, resistance is proof of truth that you have denied or repressed. Follow the resistance all the way to your freedom. This is a good one because it's very difficult for it's impossible for the personal self to witness its own inner resistance and stop and see it objectively. That's something that the objective observer can do, right? So part of your work, and one of the greatest parts of your work, especially in the beginning, is just making that shift consciously from the space where everything is personal, me, 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 to the observer, which is not attached to the story of me. It just isn't. It can see everything. It's like the observer is, I always think of it as like a reporter, right? A journalist, like a true journalist. Remember true journalism a long time ago? What is that? True journalism where people didn't have a point to prove and they were out there just to get the story and it wasn't about, you know, pushing an agenda or one side or the other. You know, that's what a true journalist was supposed to do. And that's what the objective observer can do. It can see the greater picture. And the story of me doesn't sway it either way, right? It's just as objective about the me story as it is about the you story. And then it interprets the data it gets, but it instead of the interpretation from the personal self, which is all about domination, manipulation, and control, the interpretation from the objective observer is more more in line with right action, right? Because it can see clearly. So it is crucial, absolutely crucial, that if you intend to step off the life-death cycle, it is crucial that you move out of that space of the personal self And the longer you can be out of that space and in the space of the observer, the more dissolution of that personal self will take place. Okay. Ultimately, the personal self will dissolve away completely and it just won't even be there anymore. Or if it is there, no one pays attention to it. You know, I always say it's kind of like the mind suffers from lack of attention. I love to say that because that's exactly what happens. It's just because it's not that thought stops running because it'll still run, but no one's there paying attention to it. And it can be witnessed. See the difference. It can be witnessed, but not attached to. So the personal self attaches to thought, whereas the observer witnesses thought. You see the difference? Give an example? Sure. Gosh, it could be just anything. You're driving down the street and you see you give me an example. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
You asked me for the example.
Well, I was basically saying it for them. Okay, so here's my example. One of the classes I teach is environmental biology, and I absolutely love it, and my students who take my class. And this semester, I had to have another teacher teach part of my class for me, where he got to sit in and teach my, be more interactive with my students as opposed to me being with them solely online. And my students were saying to me, because I got to see them for the last time today, and they were telling me that they really liked this other instructor, but he's the polar opposite of me. And I said, what do you mean by that? And their example was that he's totally for GMOs, and I'm not. And I literally witnessed mind... not necessarily get insulted, but I could feel it trying to react to that. And what I just witnessed was that, I could see how mind wanted to identify with, oh, is Megan a GMO extremist where she's totally against it and blah, blah, blah. And so that tried to run, and I just watched it. And it was more or less, it's just, I don't know, it was just like a thought and it held no weight to it. And I'm not anything. I'm not a GMO extremist. I'm not a whatever. So I don't know. For me, that was me kind of just witnessing thoughts and not actually attaching to it.
Yeah, that's a good one. And beyond that, the observer, when it sees that, right? So it's witnessing. Remember, you are a multidimensional being. As you do your work, you become more and more capable of seeing multidimensionally simultaneously, okay? So this is an example where you are witnessing two levels of observers. One is personal, one is objective. Something's witnessing both of them, haha. But to get back to the whole thing, in that moment, yes, the story wants to run, and the story may feel, kind of put out that they say they like him so much, and here's something that he's different, and because maybe in the story I am against GMOs, so it wants to create some kind of a dynamic. That's a whole story that just popped up, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, Megan, non-GMO, bad. You know, other teacher, good, you know, for GMOs. And now it can create this whole weird dynamic around it. And the observer can witness it and be like, oh, look at that, right? But then the cool thing is that then when you speak to the student, if you're capable of seeing that both of those are running, now you can speak from your heart, right? And the bottom line is that the students had a great experience, right? With this other teacher. That's fantastic, right? It's not personal to you, right? It was their experience. So from an objective place, the best thing that could happen is to, you know, edify that other teacher. How great for you that you had such a good experience with him. He must be a fantastic teacher. I am so glad to hear that, right? And within that, now look at the space that you've allowed them to sit in, right? It feels good for everybody, you know, because now you see the joy in their face. As opposed to most people where if someone brought something and they say, oh, they were exactly opposite from you, and we had a really great time, everyone, you know, would be put out, and then they'd have to find some nasty comment to pass about the other person, some kind of way to cut them down so that you could feel like you were still above a little bit, right? And then where does that leave in this case? Like, where would that leave the students, right? Not in a good place. Now they're in the middle of this ick. Yeah. And that's not what we're here to do by any stretch of the imagination. So that's a great example. That's a great example. And you, I mean, this goes, and the reason I kind of stalled out there was because this happens all the time. I mean, how many times a day is there a thought that runs that's a judgmental thought? And you just witness it, you know, and every time it's witnessed, it's just witnessed and then allowed to just pass. And the difference is that, you know, from the place of someone who's really, you know, hardcore identified with the personal self, the thought comes and then they turn it into a full story, as opposed to just watching the thought and seeing it for what it is and seeing why, you know, because my students would understand if in a moment, let's say they drive down the street and they see a person walking up the sidewalk and they're pushing a grocery cart and they're wearing, you know, dirty, ratty clothing. Some could witness the thought of, another homeless person. That guy doesn't want to work, right? So that thought could come, and then any student of mine would immediately witness that's just the patterning running, okay? It was taught along the way. This whole concept of being homeless and the fact that you're homeless because you don't want to be a contributor to society. And then they would be capable in that moment of witnessing that and knowing, oh, yeah, you know, like in the moment, they'd see it. My father always said stuff like that. I mean, they would just see it. And then also coming right off of that, they would be able to pull into the heart, right? Because the thought itself, when you turn it into the story, you are not in the same universe as your heart, right? That's all the compression that builds around the heart that is the personal self. And if you can see it for what it is, which is just a thought that means nothing and that has no, you know, you have no way of knowing what the story is with that person. You have no way of knowing, right? That's the reality. The reality is you cannot judge a book by its cover. So from an objective place, you could see that. And then compassion can come, you know. And it doesn't mean you necessarily have to do anything. Maybe you just look at the person and smile, you know. Maybe you wave. Or maybe nothing. Maybe you just send them love from your heart. You know, if it happens to be true that you're homeless, I hope things get better for you, you know, if that's your path. Because who's to say what the person's path is? We don't know their karmic load, right? We don't know that they didn't choose that. We don't know that that's not a master walking down the street in ratty clothing pushing a shopping cart, do we? We don't know that. So that is just a really crucial part of your journey, moving into the observer. You know, just be the witness. Be the witness. Be the witness. There's a beautiful little thing that I would say to my students. I used to have people kind of repeat it, and it's neti neti. And neti neti means not this, not this. That literally you can look anywhere at anything and point at it and go, not this. Meaning, I am not this. I am not this. I am not this. Anything. Meaning your own body. Meaning the thoughts, right? Not this either. Not this either. Oh, which goes to my second Facebook quote for the week. I've done two this week so far. So my second one, I said, I, small I, am nobody. And I, capital I, am no body. Ahaha. Isn't that cute? Meaning that the personal self is no one. There's one mind, people. The lower mind is singular. It is singular. It is a pattern. It is a pattern of identification. Okay? The consciousness has attached to. The pattern of identification is consciousness itself was singular that attached to it, but because of the pattern of identification, it made it split up. It makes it seem like it's a multiplicity. So there's only one personality functioning here. And the trick is in seeing it for what it is, you know. The only man behind the curtain is just consciousness that's identified with the story, because the story has no power in and of itself. It's not even conscious. Okay? It's not conscious. It's a program. And for anyone out there who is keen on computers, I'm speaking directly to you because you will understand this in a way that a lot of people can't. It's a computer program. If you're a programmer and you create a computer program to run where it has certain triggers that make it do certain things, that's exactly what the personality is. Exactly what the personality is. And the way it got programmed, it just runs all the time. It circles back on itself and circles back on itself. All the time, all the time, all the time. But you aren't that. You never were. You never could be. And you never will be. You are the witness to it. But you are not it. What you are is beginningless, endless, formless, single, being, knowledge, bliss. That's what you are. And that has not shifted. Just because identification has occurred, you still are that. The only thing is, you have forgotten that that's what you are. And you have, you know, for a blip in time, taken on an identity of something that you actually are not. And so it's part of your journey to begin to witness how you aren't that. Neti neti. Not this. Not this. You aren't any of it. And yet, simultaneously, you're all of it. Because it's all your holograph. It's all the projection coming from your consciousness. And that's another really good one to sit with, to look at all things. And it can be, I am that, and I am that, and I am that. Now, this seems very contradictory. On one level, it's all true. You are all of it. But beyond that, it's not true, because this reality that we call reality isn't real. In the dream, as you have a dream at night, you, in the sense, are the dreamer, yeah? But you aren't the dream. Understand? You're the dreamer. When you wake up, you know that you weren't the one in the dream. Because, well, how could that be? Because I'm here. That was there. I am here. Well, this isn't any different. If this is the dream, you as the dreamer have constructed the dream. So you're all of it. Understand? You're all of it. But that's only true within the dream. And so from when you see it from outside of the dream, neti neti, you're not any of it. Not any of it. It's a play of consciousness. That's all. It's not real. It's not real at all. So work now to really be aware every day. Little things, you know, just little things. Look at, you know, you get up in the morning and you go and make a cup of coffee. I mean, like, and you can look at it and be like, wow, like my consciousness like created that. All of it. I mean, the smells, the taste, the heat, it's all you. There's pure magic in that. Absolute magic. That's part of living a very, very blessed, magical existence, is really being aware of what's going on here. Because the reality is that you are just a thought in the mind of God. That's the reality of it. And to think that a thought, just a thought, could end up experiencing what you experience to be your physical world is, it blows my mind. I go into like this incredible, blissful, childlike state when I go there, because it's so cool. It's just so cool. A thought, just a thought, can actually experience physical matter, and just a thought can experience the heat coming off of the sun, you know, and the smell of a beautiful rose. And the touch of your lover's lips on yours. And the energy that runs because that's happening. It's absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal. If you can get yourself in that space, you will walk in grace and gratitude every day of your life. Beautiful. And then beyond that, you can move into a state where you see that it's all just a dream. All of it. It's all a dream. But it's a beautiful dream. You know, it really is. Regardless of what it looks like is going on in the world and all of this chaos and craziness and all the resistance that we see in the world right now. On one level, when it's not personal, it becomes a beautiful dream, because you understand at that point that the play of opposites has to happen here. It's the only way it can happen here. And to be in resistance to any of it is to buy into it. You understand? I'll repeat that. To be in resistance to any of it is to buy into it. Meaning, as soon as you find yourself in resistance, it means you believe it's true. GMOs, non-GMOs. If I'm going to be in resistance to those who are proponents for GMOs, it means I think the whole thing is real. That it makes a difference. Now, we can argue that. Does it make a difference? Yes and no, right? On one level, yes. Here in the dream, does it make a difference? Sure it does. What you put in your body makes a difference. However, that's only in the dream. Does it touch the essence of who you are? No, not even remotely. Does the person who, you know, is a proponent for GMOs, does that mindset touch the essence of who they are? Nope. Not even remotely. This is hard for some people, because some people really want to believe that there are evil people out there who are evil through and through. Hitler's a great example. Hitler had the same core as every one of you. Yeah. Played a role that was necessary at the time. Don't personalize it, people. atrocities happened? Absolutely. And if we personalize it, then yeah, we can all be in an uproar forever. Absolutely. However, there was a reason for it. How do we know there was a reason for it? Everyone. Say it louder.
Because it happened.
Because it happened. And I say this, and it's like it's a joke with my students, because I say it all the time, you know. The way it happened was the only way it could have happened, and it was supposed to happen exactly that way. And how do we know that? Because it happened. There are no accidents, and there are no coincidences. God is doing all of it. So, you know, there's no happenstance going on here. It all plays out the way it needs to because of choices that are made. Because identification is held, because attachments are in place, because unmet needs are in place, desires are in place. The whole story of duality is in place. Therefore, all of it has to happen. And if there is, and I'll use the Hitler thing as an example, just as an example, okay? But if there is a collective feeling that's being held unconsciously concerning, you know, bad thoughts about people of other races, okay, a very racist mentality. If that's being held and not being looked at and not being vocalized, but being held under the surface, it has to come out in the outer world. So remember, your own life, you see this happening. It's also happening on the level of the collective. Okay. So your inner and outer world is the same thing, right? And you just asked me about that. We'll come back to it. What's being held in the inner world is going to be projected out into the outer world. They're the same exact thing. So you can look to the outer world. Remember last week? Was it last week? I said the moment that I recognized my husband was the unconscious mind. It was voicing something that my personal story thought was bad. Okay, so this is happening with you every day. There's stuff going on that what you're seeing is a projection of the unconscious part of you, the part that you are in denial over or you're repressing because you think it's bad. But you have to see it someplace. So where's it going to pop up? It's going to pop up in the outside world as other people and other situations and et cetera. Okay, this is also happening on a collective level. This isn't just personal, it's collective. So we have collectives of people holding the same, you know, thoughts that they identify with, but they don't want to look at. So they push them down, push them down, push them down. Right? So we'll say, and I'm completely making this up, okay? So I'm completely making this part up. Don't lock me into some Hitler thing. But let's just say you have a huge collective in the Western world that is Christian-based, and they live in the state of guilt over one of the commandments, thou shalt not judge, because they judge every day, and they feel guilty for doing it. So what they do is they put on the good face on the outside, and they say, oh, we're not racist, you know, I think everyone's equal. But really, on the inside, there's a whole other story playing itself out. But they're too ashamed of the fact that they believe what they believe and they feel the way they feel to allow it to come out. Now, when you have an entire collective of people who function from that space, just like I was saying for you on a personal level, it has to come out to be seen. And if the collective isn't looking at it, it has to come out. Where's it going to come out? It's going to come out in the outside world in a way that will impact the collective. So then you had Hitler and the whole killing the Jews and killing the gays and the whole thing, the whole Aryan nation thing, all of it, right? Can you see how the two could be related? Yeah? Yeah? Good. Because that's how stuff like this comes. And Tim, you and I were just talking this week about, he had an experience about polarizing over the whole being meek and modest versus being like the aggressor and to be on the other side of it. And we were looking at how generally in the collective, the concept is that the weaker you are, kind of the better you are, in a sense, you know. And I quoted the Bible, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth, right? And we were looking at that together. And I said to him, because he was seeing how he kind of held that in his position at work, you know, he has some authority, but he didn't want to really use it because he was trying to hold the space of being friends. Because in his own experience, he was always polarized about his bosses when they were too bossy. So he didn't want to be that guy, right? Well, now you can see what has to happen. He didn't want to be that guy. What had to happen? He had to be put in the position where he was that guy. He had to. There was no other way for it to play out. That's the beauty of it, because he was in resistance to it. So there it was. He ended up there, and then he had to actually see the lesson. And the lesson was, you know what? It's not a bad thing to be strong. Everything has its time and everything has its place. One isn't better than the other. It just depends on the application and it depends on what's going on. So in this particular situation, he needed to take control and he needed to put his foot down and say, no, we're going to do it this way. And that was right action. Now, it doesn't mean he has to do that every time, right? But he had to learn that piece, right? And so, and I took it. Remember when we were talking, I took that and I pushed it out to the collective. And I said, well, so now what can you tell me about Tibet? And he could see, oh my gosh, if you as a collective are living in a space where it's so polarized to one side, and in this case, to the positive side, everything is, you know, kindness and peace and this and that, and we repress the other side, what has to happen? You wonder why Tibet has been conquered over and over and over again? What, is it time to go? She's giving me like, she's like wants to cut my head off right now. She's like, stop talking.
I was totally into it. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, look what time it is.
Okay. So just to wrap up really quickly before we go into meditation. But you can see, so I'm not saying anything personal about Tibet. I'm not saying anything personal about the Nazis. I'm like, please don't misunderstand me. But I need you to understand how it is that the collective ends up experiencing what it experiences in the manifested world, just as what you experience in your personal manifested world. There's a reason that it happens the way it happens. And it's because it's coming out of the unconscious mind. All right, I'm going to leave you with that for the week. And so our song this week is actually probably really good, because it's all about, the name of it is What About the Love? And kind of all about where are we sitting as a collective. So let's go into that. We love you so very dearly. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Good night.
Went to see my sister. She was staying with a friend who had turned into a preacher to save the world from sin. He said, first deny your body and then learn to submit. Pray to be made worthy and tithe your 10%. I said, is this all there is? Just the letter of the law, something's wrong. I went to see my brother on the 32nd floor of a building down on Wall Street. You could hear the future's roar. He said, here we make decisions and we trade commodities. If you'll tell me where there's famine, I can make you guarantees. I said, is this all there is? Power to the strong, something's wrong. Something's wrong in heaven tonight. You can almost hear. Thank you.
guarded, you have no place to go. He said, here I lack for nothing. I am fed and I am clothed. But at times I miss the freedom I used to know. I said, is this all there is? When your usefulness is gone, something's wrong.
You are divine.